Okay, so I'm going to talk today about the film The Matrix, which many of you might have seen and is not a very good film, but raises some philosophical questions that I would like to talk about. So the basic scenario of the film The Matrix is that the main character, whose name is Neo, at a certain point finds out that his entire life to date has been a computer simulation. So early in the film, we find him walking around, going to his office, making coffee, talking to colleagues, doing all sorts of normal things. And then at some point, we find out that all of those things were events going on in a computer simulation. So Neo thought that he was doing these things in 1999. In fact, Neo is floating in some sort of vat of fluid, and his brain is wired up to an enormous computer that's feeding this computer simulation into it. So the enormous computer feeds Neo various experiences of, for example, walking around in the sunshine, being in his office, tasting coffee, hearing his colleagues' voices, and so on. And the computer also is able to read Neo's thoughts and read Neo's decisions and intentions, so that, for example, when Neo decides to stand up and walk around, the experience that he's being fed changes accordingly, so it looks to him as though he's moving around the room, for example. Neo is attached to this computer in, I think, the year 2099 or something like that. So all of this time, Neo was living in this computer simulation, and so were all of his friends and colleagues. So the people that he met in the computer simulation were in exactly the same situation as he was. And none of them had any idea of this. It's a perfect simulation. So all of them were convinced that they were living in a real world, just as you and me are convinced of that. And this whole arrangement is organized by some sinister organization for some malevolent ends that we don't need to worry about. At a certain point in the film, Neo is made aware that this is his situation, and this comes to him as a terrible blow. And he thinks that his entire life to date was some sort of illusion. And then I think he spends the rest of the series of films trying to destroy the Matrix or something. I don't know. I haven't watched them. Anyone who's read the work of Descartes, his Meditations on First Philosophy, will recognize that the scenario in the Matrix is very similar to a scenario that Descartes imagined in that work. Descartes was engaged in a project of trying to put all his knowledge on a certain footing, and he imagined that he was the victim of an evil demon who was deceiving him and providing him with false beliefs about the world around him. And Descartes used this as a sort of thought experiment as part of his epistemological project. Descartes used it as part of an argument for external world skepticism, the view that you can't know anything about the external world. People have found Descartes' argument very convincing. Descartes, in fact, was not an external world skeptic. He thought that he could refute external world skepticism, but most people find his refutation of skepticism much less compelling than his argument for it. So the scenario in The Matrix raises broadly the same philosophical questions as does Descartes' evil demon thought experiment. In particular, it raises the question whether we can know anything about the world around us, about the external world. So let's all imagine now that we are, in fact, in The Matrix. We're in the same scenario as Neo in the early part of the film. So we're all enjoying the experience of sitting here in the Hansard Gallery, listening to a nice talk about philosophy, or delivering a nice talk about philosophy. But all of this is a computer simulation of a gallery, and we are all, in fact, hooked up to some enormous computer that is feeding us this simulation. When you decide to get up and walk around, the computer changes the simulation accordingly, so you have the experience just as though you're standing up and walking around. And suppose that your whole life has been lived in this computer simulation, just like Neo in the film. Okay, so the reason that these sorts of scenarios strike people as troubling and interesting is that they're set up in a certain way so that you can't tell, or so it would seem, that you're not in one of these scenarios. You can't tell that you're not in the Matrix. You can't tell that you're not the victim of some evil demon who's deceiving you into forming lots of false beliefs. After all, these scenarios are, I mean, made up by us, and we design them so that in the scenario, you, the subject, everything is to you just as it in fact is. It's just like normal. So you couldn't possibly detect the fact that you're in this scenario. No evidence could tell you that you're in it, or indeed that you're not in it. That's a sort of troubling thought that we can have when presented with one of these scenarios. And this troubling thought can be worked up into a sort of philosophical argument for the position that I called external world skepticism. So here's how that argument would go. Well, the first premise of the argument, we would observe that if you are in one of these scenarios, so if you are in the Matrix, for example, then most of your beliefs about the external world and about your place in it are false, or at least probably false. So it seems as though if you're in the Matrix, then it's not true that you're, say, dressed in jeans and a t-shirt as you think you are. It might not be true that you have dark hair as you think you do. It's not true that you're in the Hansard Gallery, because actually you're floating in some vat somewhere and on some other planet or something. It's probably not true that the Hansard Gallery even exists, and so on. So it looks as though if you are in the Matrix, then you're massively deluded about what the world around you is like. You think that you're in this nice art gallery, but in fact you're floating in some vat of nutrients and that art gallery doesn't exist. But secondly, it seems to follow from that in order to know that, for example, you're in the Hansard Gallery, or that the Hansard Gallery exists, you would have to first know that you're not in the Matrix. After all, if you are in the Matrix, then those other things aren't true. So, to put it another way, it looks as though if you don't know that you're not in the Matrix, then you don't know that the Hansard Gallery exists, or that Great Britain exists, or that you have hair, or that Cameron is the Prime Minister, or anything at all about the external world. Third premise of our argument, you don't know that you're not in the Matrix. And that seems pretty compelling, because after all, the whole scenario is set up precisely so that you couldn't possibly have any evidence that you're not in the Matrix. Being in the Matrix is just like being in the ordinary world that we think we're in, and walking around in the sunshine and so on. So given that nothing that could possibly happen to us could differentiate between being in the world as we think it is and being in the Matrix, it looks as though you couldn't possibly know that you're not in the Matrix. But now it looks like we have a compelling argument for skepticism, because we have the premise that if you don't know that you're not in the Matrix, then you don't know, for example, that the Hansard Gallery exists. And we have the premise that indeed you don't know that you're not in the Matrix, and it follows from that that you don't know that the Hansard Gallery exists, and you don't know that Southampton exists, and you don't know that you have hair, and you don't know that Cameron is Prime Minister, and you don't know that it's 2012. In short, all your beliefs about the external world don't count as knowledge. You don't know anything about the external world. About this argument, note that the conclusion isn't just that you don't know that you're not in the Matrix. That's a premise of the argument, it's not the conclusion. The conclusion of the argument is that you don't know even that you're sitting there, that you have hands, that the Hansard Gallery exists, and so on. So all of your perfectly ordinary, everyday beliefs about the external world, you don't know any of those things to be true. So that's external world skepticism. And that's a very disturbing thought. So most people find it at least initially plausible that they don't know that they're not in the Matrix, but they find it much less plausible that they don't know, for example, that the United Kingdom exists, or that it's 2012. But it seems as though the second of those things follows from the first. And that's disturbing, because surely we do know these things. Surely you do know who the Prime Minister is, and what year it is, and where you are, and whether the Hansard Gallery exists, and so on. So we should try and find some way of resisting the argument for external world skepticism that I just gave. Now, one very natural reaction to this argument is to say, well, it's not so bad, because even if I don't know that the Hansard Gallery exists, I'm still pretty sure that it does, or it's very likely that it does, given my evidence. It's very probable, or something like that. Don't I have much more reason to think that the Hansard Gallery exists, for example, than that the Hansard Gallery is an illusion generated by some computer simulation, and that I'm in hooked up to the Matrix somewhere? But the problem is that the argument can be adapted to give us the conclusion that you don't even have any reason to think that the Hansard Gallery exists. So it's not only that you don't know that the Hansard Gallery exists, it's that you've got no reason whatsoever to think that it does. It's not even probable that it does. And that's because, as I mentioned before, the Matrix scenario is set up in such a way that you have no evidence that you're not in the Matrix. And in principle, you couldn't have any evidence that you're not in the Matrix. Again, anything that happened to you is such that you could have the very same experience while you were in the Matrix. That's the whole point. So you've got no evidence whatsoever that you're not in the Matrix, it seems, and so no reason to think that you're not in the Matrix. But if you are in the Matrix, then the Hansard Gallery probably doesn't exist. So it looks as though you've got no reason whatsoever to think that the Hansard Gallery exists. To put it in another way, your evidence, or what you think is your evidence for thinking that the Hansard Gallery exists, namely your experience of a building with Hansard Gallery written on the side and so on, lots of literature that you get about the Hansard Gallery, all that evidence doesn't favour the hypothesis that the Hansard Gallery exists over the hypothesis that you're experiencing some perfectly convincing computer simulation of the Hansard Gallery. So it's not good enough to say that even if you don't know that it exists, you're pretty sure that it does, or you've got some reason to think it does, or it probably does. If our argument is any good, then it shows that you don't even have any reason whatsoever to think that it does. And so you certainly don't know that it does. Okay, now some people like to resist the skeptical argument by saying that the argument's assumption, according to which you can't know that you're not in the matrix, is false. So some people think you can know that you're not in the matrix. On the face of it, that doesn't look like a very promising response to the argument, given that, as I've said, it seems as though there's no possible evidence that you could have for the hypothesis that you're not in the matrix. Well, one answer to that concern is the following. You can know that you're not in the matrix by doing a little piece of reasoning. You can think to yourself, well, I'm now in the Hansard Gallery listening to a talk, and if I'm in the Hansard Gallery listening to a talk, then I'm certainly not hooked up to the matrix, so therefore I must not be in the matrix. So the idea there is that you do, after all, know that you're in the Hansard Gallery listening to a talk, and given that you can reason from that to the conclusion that you're not in the matrix, you can thereby come to know that you're not in the matrix. And if that's right, then one of the premises of the argument for skepticism is false. It's false that you can't know that you're not in the matrix. But there's something not at all reassuring about this as a response to the skeptical argument. After all, of course, the skeptical argument is supposed to show precisely that you can't know that you're in the Hansard Gallery listening to a talk, for example. So it's not very helpful to be told that you do know that, and that you can thereby come to know that you're not in the matrix. If the argument was at all worrying in the first place, then being told from the start that its conclusion is false isn't going to be very helpful. Maybe this is right, but we'd at least like to know why the argument seems so convincing. I'm going to go back to the start, the very start of the argument for skepticism, and suggest that we should resist the argument at that point. So the very start of the argument was the following thought. If you're in the matrix, then most of your beliefs about the external world are false. So, for example, if you're in the matrix, then you're not in the Hansard Gallery listening to a talk, and if you're in the matrix, then it's not, or probably not, 2012, and the Hansard Gallery probably doesn't exist, and the United Kingdom probably doesn't exist, and so on. That was the first premise of the argument, and I want to suggest that that's the premise that we should reject. So an alternative way of looking at things, which has been suggested by the philosopher David Chalmers, among others, is that if you're in the matrix, it's not that all your beliefs about the external world are false, it's rather that something slightly surprising is true about the constitution of reality, of physical reality. If you're in the matrix, then it's not that the Hansard Gallery doesn't exist, it's that the Hansard Gallery turns out to be a little bit of a computer simulation that's running in the matrix. So it exists perfectly well, it just turns out that the Hansard Gallery is constituted by a computer simulation. And what it is for you to be in the Hansard Gallery listening to a talk is for certain things to be happening in that computer simulation that's running in the matrix. In other words, if the matrix exists, it's not that all your ordinary beliefs about the external world and what's going on in it are false. It's just that what it takes for them to be true is, for example, that a certain bunch of ones and zeros are arranged in a certain way, or whatever it is for a piece of software to be running accordingly. So to illustrate this idea, think again about the film. So in the early part of the film, we see scenes where Neo, the main character, is doing things like talking to colleagues in the office, let's say, or making coffee, or walking in the sunshine. Later on, Neo finds out that all along he's been in the Matrix, his whole life, indeed. Well, do we conclude then that he wasn't, after all, in the office talking to colleagues, or walking in the sunshine, or making coffee? Well, I want to suggest, no, we don't conclude that. or at least we shouldn't. So what Neo later discovers is not that he wasn't in the office, or that there is no office, or that nothing he thought was happening was happening. Rather, he discovers something about what it was for him to be in the office, and what it was, or is, for the office to exist. Namely, it was for stuff to be happening in the Matrix, for a certain piece of software to be running in a certain way. So what Neo discovers is something about the constitution of reality, namely that it's made out of ones and zeros and it's run on a computer. So similarly, I want to suggest, if you were to find out tomorrow that you were in the Matrix, or that the whole world was a computer simulation run on a Matrix, you wouldn't thereby discover that, for example, the Hansard Gallery doesn't exist, or that you're not here listening to me saying that it does. Rather, what you'd discover would be something about the constitution of reality. You'd discover something about what the Hansard Gallery fundamentally is at the most basic level. The Matrix hypothesis, the hypothesis that you're in the Matrix, can seem pretty exotic. But take something less exotic, so take the hypothesis that the world is entirely constituted by subatomic particles whizzing about in various ways. That's, it's somewhat exotic, I guess, but there seems to be pretty good reason to think that it's in fact true. Well, given that, the Hansard Gallery is just constituted by a bunch of subatomic particles whizzing around in a certain way, and you being here listening to this talk just is a bunch of subatomic particles whizzing around in various ways. That is to say, at the most basic level, all of these things are constituted by subatomic particles and their behavior. But when we discover that, we don't conclude that, well, after all, the Hansard Gallery doesn't exist, and you aren't here listening to this, because all there is a bunch of subatomic particles flying around. And my suggestion is that we would have the very same reaction, or at least we ought to have the same reaction, if it turned out that all of this was a computer simulation. It's being a computer simulation doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. Indeed, we could imagine a fiction from 1,000 years ago, let's say, in which the shocking discovery made by the hero was that everything that anyone saw and thought and did just boiled to a bunch of subatomic particles shooting around in various ways. Indeed, maybe as time goes on, we'll eventually discover that at the most basic fundamental level, subatomic particles, the very bottom, turn out to be just a bunch of ones and zeros in the running of a computer program. That would be a surprising scientific discovery that would tell us something about the constitution of reality, but it wouldn't show that reality was an illusion. So what I want to suggest is that indeed you don't know that you're not in the Matrix, but although you don't know that you're not in the Matrix, it doesn't matter, because it doesn't follow from that that you don't know that you're sitting here listening to this, for example. Because even if you are in the Matrix, and even if this is all a computer simulation, you're still sitting here listening to me wondering whether it is.